This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
There was so much sport going on over the course of the weekend. We know, of course, round three of the National Rugby League. We got into the AFL for the first time this year. There was a Grand Prix, a Formula One. Yeah, Formula One Grand Prix, let's call it that. And there's a few other issues around in the world of sport. So let's get to our source on this, Tess Connery, the deputy editor of Media Week, someone from Media Week who is not at South by Southwest in Texas. G'day, Tess.
You left with me. I'm so sorry, Jimmy. Everyone else is in Texas. They've left me behind.
That's unbelievable. Anyway, well, they're not in Texas anymore, I think Dorothy said, or something similar. There you go. Let's get into it. So let's start with the AFL. Some massive numbers, I know, on that Thursday night for Channel 7, and I think they continued over the course of the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I guess to look at the most recent one, GWS, with their comeback against Adelaide, 379,000 on 7 yesterday, 151 on Fox, which is 530 all up, so really strong. It's kept through the weekend. But like you said, kicking off that Blues versus Tigers match, huge, 522 on 7 and 249 on Fox for a total of 771. And the thing with TV ratings is that the industry standard is what we call five city metro. So that's Brisbane, Sydney, Melbourne, Adelaide, Perth. But Channel 7, of course, they've got access to, their own internal numbers. And on Friday morning after that match had run, they actually ran some reports on their internal numbers. And they reckon it reached over 2 million people all up throughout, the rest of the country, regional, those non-metro areas, and people watching on, 7Mate, all streaming through. So huge, huge, huge numbers to start off the AFL season this year.
Yeah, I suppose they've seen what we were talking about it last week, right? What News Limited did with their NRL numbers and said, right, well, if it's good enough for News Limited, let's throw everything in there. What do we work out that metric was? About 1.75? That's what you multiply the Oztam number by?
Yeah, something like that. Something like that. You said, might as well. But they're reporting that the match peaked at 1.07 million viewers nationally, which would be up 19% compared to last year's series and up 5% on the opening Thursday night for last year. So very pleased with themselves, Channel 7.
Yeah, which is 1% higher than the reported uptick of the National Rugby League numbers. It's amazing how it goes like that, Tess. One thing I will point out as an NRL diehard, and that is that, again, we have this incredible situation where Fox have more viewers than free-to-air for the Dogs versus Tigers game. But when you look at that across from a subscription television point of view, those numbers for the rugby league are absolutely huge. And in fact, about 100,000 more than the AFL equivalents on Sunday.
They're doing really, really well in the NRL at the moment. It's been an exciting start to the season, I think. When we were talking before we got on air, I must admit, I did say it's really weird how the Dragons didn't play this weekend. What a shame that was. absolutely devastating for us to have definitely had another bye round. I mean, what? Tigers, Dogs, 493 all up across 9 and Fox, which is huge, especially for that Sunday afternoon spot, So they'd be very happy with it. Both Channel 9 and Fox would have to be very, very pleased with their coverage there. And like you said, Fox really pulling some huge ones with the NRL this season.
Yeah. Well, the Dragons didn't play, but that was just for the last 10 minutes of the match. The first 70 minutes, they were more than happy to be involved in the game, which was fantastic. What about the Australia v India game in the cricket? Didn't last long. Mitch Stark, player of the match, with a fifer, but still good numbers.
Yeah, no, it was really solid for them. So 52,000 across the second game on Fox Cricket, which is up from 50,000 from the first game. So they'd certainly be very happy with that. And yeah, like you said, not much of a chance, I don't think, for them to collect a massive viewership because it was over pretty quickly.
Yeah, yeah, that's the crazy thing about that one. The other one was the Formula One Grand Prix. I'm looking at the numbers here, courtesy of the Media Week daily email. So I think we've got qualifying. I've got pit lane qualifying, but we actually haven't got the race itself. So that'll come up in tomorrow's numbers. But again, very strong, especially given time zone.
Especially given the time zone, you know, anything that's already outside of, you know, the prime time zones for Australia is already going to be coming up against that, exactly as you said. But F1 always seems to overcome. It's one of those things that no matter what time zone you put it in, people will show up. So the qualifying race, 92,000, which is huge. And yeah, like you said, we'll get the actual race through in tomorrow morning's numbers.
Very sticky fans in the Formula One. Hey, away from that, Patrick Delaney, who is the CEO of Foxtel. Now, this is another story on your daily newsletter. Rumoured to be in the running for the AFL CEO's job. Now, this would be an interesting move for all parties, Tess, I'd imagine.
I must admit, this wasn't one that I was expecting when I woke up this morning. Yeah, no, this one was reported in the Weekend Australian over the weekend just gone. Obviously, you know, trying to fill that AFL CEO slot as Gillon McLachlan steps down. But reporting that there's a few different people in the running. You know, there's your kind of AFL executives that would sort of spring to mind first up, Travis Auld, Kylie Rogers, Andrew Dillon. Supposedly there are two additional candidates that were fielded. And we don't have the name of the second, but the first one is Foxtel CEO Patrick Delaney. So that would be a bit of an interesting career change, I think. That could be fun.
Patrick does have a legal background too, doesn't he? So I know, given the fact that they've got this class action that I think is obviously going to be a legal minefield, so that might be of benefit as well. And then the other article that appeared today too around anti-siphoning and the reform of that. We talk a lot about what games are on free-to-air and what games are on subscription television and how much broadcasters or sporting organisations can charge for that, how much broadcasters can pay. We thought we were going to get reform, but it's been postponed.
Yeah, no, pushed back a little bit. So this one has been reported by Nine Publishing, Sydney Morning Herald. It was all set to expire on April 1st. And so, you know, that deadline's obviously not that far away at this point. So we were all staring down the barrel of these anti-siphon law reforms. But it's been pushed back, so Foxtel probably not going to be too pleased with that one, I would, if I had to hazard a guess. But we've got a bunch of sources all speaking on the condition of anonymity so that they don't get their pants kicked, I imagine. But, yeah, so it looks like it's been pushed back to further in the year. No set date, but, yeah, again, like I said, Foxtel probably not the best pleased about that one, if I had to guess.
Yeah, so push back till, I think the best way to describe it is they went, right, we'll do it after the footy season, right? why don't we do it? The footy's probably on, let's do it after that, all right? Yeah. It feels a bit that way.
Heard across the nation.
yes, exactly. All right, no more mentions about your Dragons until next week, and who knows what next week brings. Tess, as always, outstanding. Thank you.
Appreciate it, Jimmy. Thank you.